often does the average American feel completely healthy? Unfortunately, the answer is not often enough. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, returning with some sobering news that might make you a little queasy.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust.
A new study on American wellness has uncovered some truly concerning results. Across all age groups, the average U.S. citizen reports they only feel fully healthy for 19 days out of each month. That means they feel like garbage 40% of the time. Americans report suffering from fatigue, stomach problems, headaches, and other symptoms of illness and stress. That lowers their job performance and ironically causes them to exercise less. In light of this, we have a decision to make. Do we want this to be our new normal, or is it finally time to reevaluate our diet and lifestyle choices? I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartMail.com, the private AI-free email alternative.
This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them as they march into the palaces of the high and mighty. I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
There we go. Okay. It's the day before Thanksgiving, 2025. I'm delighted to be with you. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I have a special treat today. I was thinking long and hard, what do I want to do on the day before Thanksgiving? Yesterday, I did a program on thankfulness and the importance of gratitude being more like optimism, more like count your blessings instead of the things wrong in your life, and that will give you increased health and mental health and wellness, better sleep, et cetera, et cetera. And so I kind of did my Thanksgiving show, and I was thinking, what do I want to do today? Well, I have an answer, and it's going to be an experiment, so bear with me. This may go well, or it may not. We'll find out together. I have a copy, let's see, of my children's book, I Won't Take the Mark. Let's see if I can do it. Ta-da! All right, I think, kind of. All right, there is I Won't Take the Mark, and if you are listening to me on the radio and you are anywhere near a computer or a screen, and you're able to hop on over to the Catherine Albrecht radio show on YouTube, the channel there, you will get a chance to actually see as I turn the pages of my book and read it live on the air. So I'm excited about it. This is a book. Let me give you the background. The book is called, and it's going to be hard for me with my mic. Let me see if I can move it over so I can both read and talk at the same time. So the book is called I Won't Take the Mark. It has an interesting backstory. It was published, let me see what year this came out. Opening my own book to find out my own my own personal history here. This book was published, 2014. And it came out in December of 2014. So we probably should have dated it, 2015 in hindsight. There's a little glare on there. But 2014, so this is what I was doing in 2014. And it took probably about a year to get this book put together. As you can tell, it is a beautiful hardback book, if you can see it. I won't take the markets for kids, probably ages, I'd say like 4, maybe to these days, probably 12. And it's a good book for adults too, which I'll show you in a minute, the reason for that. I'm going to see if I can get that glare off of there so you can see it better. But the book is called I Won't Take the Mark. It's a Bible book and contract for children by Catherine Albrecht, EDD. And this is going to be tricky. As told by Catherine Albrecht, EDD, of course, because I didn't write book of Revelation that I'm taking it from. And then it says, nurtured by Tiffany Dashke, who was my absolutely fantastic assistant and dear friend, Tiffany, and Katina Michael. That's Dr. Katina Michael from the University of Wollongong, who has done so much research into microchip, implantable microchips and technology. She and I co-edited the Technology and Education magazine put out by IEEE, the Engineering Association, for a number of years. She is the I don't know if she's still editing it, but she edited it for many years. She was the senior editor, and she brought me on as an associate editor. So we co-authored several opinion pieces, which you can still read if you go online and look up IEEE, technology. I'm blanking on what it is, but look up IEEE Catherine Albrecht and you can find all those articles. But that's Katina Michael. We worked together for a number of years on these issues. I flew down to Australia and I did, hang on, let me bring the camera back to myself. I flew down to Australia and I did a big debate and opened a big conference that she was holding on this. We've spoken together at conferences all over the place. So spent a lot of time together and she helped to nurture the book. All right, so let me hang on a minute. All right, so I'm going to see if this works. It's going to be a little bit touch and go. And again, those of you in Radioland, I'm going to be reading the book. So don't worry, you're not going to be missing out. Well, you will be missing out because it's beautifully illustrated and gorgeous pictures that you won't be able to see. But I encourage you to head on over to Amazon and you can get your very own copy right there. I Won't Take the Mark by Catherine Albrecht. All right, here goes. Let's see if I can do this. I am going to read you the book. Here we go. And it's going to take some leaning probably because I need to be able to see it. And this mic, hang on, I know what I'll do. I'll bring the book closer to me. Let's see if I can, all right, hopefully that will do the trick. Okay, nothing like live, not only live radio, but live cameras. It's exciting. All right, here we go. Switching back over to the book. The book, that glare, I think it'll get better once I turn the page. But the book is called I Won't Take the Mark. And as we turn the page, you can see that there is a dedication right here on the little kind of built-in title plate. This is a place where you put the book belongs to, given by, there's a date, and you can put a special message. So this makes a wonderful Christmas present, which is a good reason for me to be showing it this time of year. All right, now the next page, it's full of scripture. The scripture was taken from the King James Bible. So you can find your own translation, but I find it's usually pretty easy to understand. And this one says, and I, John, saw them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Now, that is Revelation 15, verses 2 through 4. Whether you have grandchildren, children, cousins, whether you are a kid, no matter who you are, you will find something of value in this hour of radio, because what I'm really going to be talking about this hour, in addition to showing you my book, is talking about the topic of my book, which is Revelation, the Mark of the Beast. And I was told about this. I'll flip all the way to the end and show you. I was told about the Mark of the Beast when I was a kid. I was in my grandmother's farmhouse. There's a picture of me years ago. 2015, I guess, not that many years ago. But I have a note there for grandparents and parents from Dr. Catherine Albrecht. And how am I going to read this without missing my mic? I'm going to try to come even closer. Bear with me. Okay, I'm going to read this so that everybody can hear what it says, but I don't have to lean so far away from my microphone. All right. And that kind of took care of the glare issue, too. All right. So on this picture, those of you in audio land, what you see is a picture of me, and at the top it says a note to parents and grandparents from Dr. Catherine Albrecht. On the left-hand side, you see three no-smoking circles with lines through them, except it's not cigarettes in those lines, it's other things. One of them is an ink stamp on your hand, and it is stamping a child's hand, and there's a circle around it and a no over it. When my kids were growing up, they were not allowed to receive a hand stamp. You know, you go to Chuck E. Cheese and they have that kind of invisible hand stamp there. You go to, anything like the fair, the park, certain amusement park rides, etc. And when you got there, they would always want to stamp your kids' hands so that they would know that your kids had paid to get in. If they had to leave or if they had to go to the bathroom or run to the car, they could get back in. And we would always stop and say, no, we don't allow stamps on our kids' hands. And my kids eventually said it themselves. We're not, you know, we don't get stamps on our hands. And it gave me a couple of reasons for that. Number one, a stamp on your hand is not the mark of the beast. Don't get me wrong. A stamp to get back into Chuck E. Cheese, there's nothing morally sinful about getting a stamp on your hand to go to Chuck E. Cheese. But what I was instilling in my children by saying no to a hand stamp was, from the very earliest age, the idea that no one puts anything on your hand or on your forehead. When we would go to the little face painting stations at county fairs, we would say, we'd like to be a butterfly, we'd like to be a tiger, but please, no paint of any kind on the forehead. So those were the rules growing up for my kids. No hand stamps, no forehead, anything. And the reason for that is so that it would just be doubly driven home to them, and so that they would be practiced and have experience of saying, no, you may not put a mark or a stamp on my hand. You may not. And my kids have probably done that, I don't know, dozens, scores of times. I don't know if the mark of the beast is going to come in their lifetime. They're now all adults. But if it does, they will have plenty of experiences of saying, no, you can't put a mark on my hand. All right. I don't even know if I'm going to get through the whole book this hour. I have so much to say. All right. Stay tuned. Here's me. There you go. Whoops. I'm right here. I'll be right back.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
God enthroned, be revealed in splendor as you ride upon angels' wings. You led us as a people and set us free. Loving shepherd, won't you hear our plea? Shine forth from your throne of dazzling light in the sight.
That's timely, isn't it? Come back. Angel armies, I could use some of those right about now. All right, let me get back to the book. So this is Dr. Catherine Albrecht. If you're just joining me, I am reading from my children's book published in December 1st, 2014. It's pretty much 10 years ago, 2015, for children, 20, Yeah, December 1st. Wow, it's going to be 2015? Yeah, it'll be 11 years in about a week. Amazing. So this book was a labor of love. I did not know if I was going to live or die in 2013-ish when I did this. In 2011, I was diagnosed with stage 3C breast cancer. I lost my left breast. I had more chemotherapy than my doctor, who was affiliated with Harvard at Dana-Farber, the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. I had more chemo than she'd ever given anybody because I had small children and she wanted me to live. And I underwent radiation. The whole nine yards, I did it all. I lost my hair. I was mistaken for my husband, my then husband's white mother. I remember being, I cried all night, but I was introduced, one of our friends introduced us to their friends from out of town at church and said, "This is Dana and Catherine Albrecht." And the friend said, "Oh, nice to meet you. Are you two father, mother and son?" I'm sitting there going, "Oh my gosh, do I look literally that awful?" And I really did. I looked absolutely terrible. I have shown some pictures of that time. I haven't been able to find them lately, but if I ever do, I'll show you. It's awful. It was really, really bad. And I didn't know if I would live or die. And it was Ray from Pennsylvania, who may or may not be listening to this show, who encouraged me and said, "Catherine, you may not have long for this world. You need to write that book. Because you've been talking about it, the Lord's put it on your heart, and you have to get it done. Because if you don't do it now, you might not do it. You might not have time to do it." And so thank you, Ray. He lit a fire under me, and I did an enormous amount of work to get this book done from scratch. This was just me and an idea. I wanted to write a book that warned children the same way my grandmother had warned me not to take the mark of the beast. And it is a difficult conversation for many parents, grandparents, church teacher, you know, Sunday school teachers to have with children. They are not quite sure how to broach the subject. And so I said, "I know what I'll do. I will write a book." And it turned into a huge project. The very first difficulty in the project, after I figured out essentially what I wanted to say, was finding an artist. Nowadays I couldn't find an artist because they'd all be using AI or I would suspect them of it. But at least back in 2012 and 13, when I was writing this book, back then you could not use AI to do art. So all art was created by people. Some of it was made really kind of junkily on a computer, but people were making the art. And I spent, I would say probably a month going through the internet for artists, looking at people who painted pictures of people. Any artist who could draw people, because this book is full of people. Here, let me go back to the book here. There we go. All right, this is the book. And you can see, sorry about that glare. Let me see if I can fix that. I can't. Hang on, let me at least pull the camera back, see if that'll do it. But there are lots and lots of people in this book, and I thought it would be easy to find an artist to draw people. And here's what I learned, something really interesting. And this will probably be a two-part series because I'm never going to get through the whole book in this hour, maybe even 3 hours, because I've got so much backstory to it. But when I looked for artists who could draw people, I would say that I learned more about art and I learned more about the human heart expressing itself through the things the person creates than I could have ever known if I hadn't done this project. I saw art that pictures of children, pictures of animals, pictures, just art, drawings, paintings, watercolor, acrylic, you name it. The way the person's heart feels about people is 100% conveyed through the artwork. I saw artwork of people who hate people. Really well executed art in some cases, but something in it carried a spirit, and the spirit was a spirit of disdain and dislike. It took me a long time. I must have looked at 200-300 different artists before I found this artist, Julie Pearson, in England, and her artwork was infused, just filled from one picture I saw of hers to the next with tremendous love for her subjects. I could see so much love coming out of them. And I said, "That's the artist I want." So I contacted her in England, and lo and behold, she did the pictures. Now you may be wondering, how do you even do pictures for a book? Well, I didn't know. I found my artist and I said, "Here's my book, here are the pages, and here's kind of what I'm thinking it should go on each page." And she then took canvas, not canvas, watercolor paper, because she paints in watercolor. And these, here, let me bring the camera back to myself. These paintings that she did, because she did painting, she painted from scratch, and they were like this big. I mean, big, like this big, like huge. And if you're listening to my voice and not seeing my face, I'm indicating maybe 24 inches by 14 inches. I don't know, they're big. So she made these in England. Each individual page, she did a sketch. We talked about it. We said, no, I think that should be this, or this should be that, or do it different. And then she did the final sketch, and I said, yeah, I like it. And then she colored it, showed it to me, I signed off, and then she put all of these sketches into the mail from England to New Hampshire. And I was a nervous wreck. I was like, how are these? Oh my gosh, they were insured for like, I don't know, tens of thousands of dollars. I was freaking out. But they arrived safely. They got here. And so now here I have this big box of tissue paper, carefully wrapped, beautifully painted paintings. And rather than just talk about it, let me show it to you. So let me go back to my book camera. And the way I have the camera now, I can't even turn the page because the desk is in the way, but I'll figure it out. All right. So let me give you two a beautiful page here. All right, so this is the title page. How do I get it right? Okay, this is the title page. I won't take the mark. There's just a beautiful little lamb. A Bible Book in Contract for Children by Catherine Albrecht. And then here, dedicated to, why is this? Because my camera's crooked. That's why. Let me fix that. Hang on. Okay, dedicated to the memory of my wise and witty grandmother, Evelyn Muriel Woodall, my generous and resourceful mother, Elaine, and grandparents who have passed this knowledge down through the generations, Dr. Catherine Albrecht. And you can see the beautiful artwork. And then on this side, this graphic, so the border around it, I had it, one of those old CDs, if you remember back in the day when you had to get clip art off of CDs, I had a CD of nothing but borders. And so all of the beautiful borders throughout this book, and there's a bunch of them, I'll show you. It's this border. Here, let me zoom in. See the pretty border here. Like all of these gorgeous borders, and there's dozens of them throughout the book, were all on a CD. And I think it's Alfredo Graphics. I recently looked up the copyright for that, and that's who I have to thank for that. Okay, so then, so it was a collaboration of Julia Pearson doing the artwork, myself writing the text and coming up with a design and figuring out how this whole thing was going to come together. And TLC Graphics out of Texas, I think they're now called TLC Books, TLC Book Design. I highly recommend them. This book, I had everything except it was looking really amateurish and terrible. And I prayed and said, I need a book designer. I need somebody to put all this together in a professional way. And I prayed and I opened my eyes. I went on the internet, and the very first thing I laid eyes on was TLC Graphics, and I called, and it turns out that Tammy Dever, who runs TLC Graphics, was not only a Christian, but became one of my best friends, and actually went with me to the island nation of Anguilla to distribute the books together with her husband and kids. So the Lord just worked all of that out. But that's why the book is so beautiful. This page is important because you are blessed because of what I'm doing right now. I'm going to read you this page. Let me zoom in a little bit for those of you in YouTube. Okay, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. That's Revelation 1:3. So not only am I blessed because I'm reading it to you, blessed is he that readeth. If you buy this for your kids or grandkids, they will be blessed because you will be reading it to them. And they that hear the words of this prophecy. So you are being blessed right now because I'm about to share some of the words of the prophecy. And your children and grandchildren and Sunday school kids and nieces and nephews and neighbors' kids and anyone else you need to buy a gift for will also be blessed by hearing these words. So there's a blessing in here. And I opened the book with a blessing to remind us that even though some of this can seem a little bit like, yeah, we're talking about the mark of the beast, we're talking about something bad, but there is a tremendous blessing in it. And just like the rest of the Lord's blessings, it's all good. It's just good. Okay. So moving on to the next page, I'm going to go ahead and read this. So she did these beautiful, see if I can zoom in on this W. So the initial letter, I remember when I was a kid, I was like, I don't understand. What is this? It's hen Jesus lived. No, the initial letter, it starts off when Jesus lived, and the W is beautifully written out in calligraphy script. I don't know, what did they call it? Illuminated manuscript script. So she did that to every page, every initial letter, and she came up with that on her own. I thought it was so beautiful. So this particular page, when Jesus lived long ago, things were much simpler. There were no televisions or computers. There were no cell phones or credit cards. People bought things with coins made of silver, bronze, and gold. Okay, that's the first page. Next page is just a picture, and it shows a marketplace, an ancient marketplace, in which things are being traded. So you've got a cage with some doves in it, got some people in the background, you've got some fruit and vegetables, and you've got some scrolls, and then he's counting out coins, because that's all there was back then. There was no paper money, there was no cash, there's just coins, and mostly trade. You wanted some doves? Well, give them a loaf of bread. All right, stay tuned. I'll tell you more in a minute.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
Are you interested?
All go to one place. All are from the dark. To dust all return, all go to one place. All are from the dust, and to dust all return, to dust all return.
Now when our bodies return to dust, our souls live on forever. So, all right. That's why the material stuff doesn't matter. Really doesn't. What matters is what's inside. That's what God sees. He does not see the outward appearance. He sees the heart. And that's the part you want to have spotless. That's the part you want to have washed and primed and ready. All right. I had told you that I was in the middle of it and I forgot. So let me go back to it. I was reading through the things at the end on the note to parents and grandparents from Catherine Albrecht. The first one is the do not stamp the hand with a circle and a line through it. The next one is do not put face paint on the forehead with a circle and a line through it. And then the last one is do not use biometrics for identification or hand biometrics, because if you use your hand, once you get in the habit of putting a fingerprint scanner or putting your palm down on something with a palm reader, then it's going to be a very small step to using reading devices that are reading some kind of a mark in your hand. So these were the three. And again, are they sinful in and of themselves? Absolutely not. But they're good practice, and it's a good thing to teach your kids to learn how to say no to those things. All right. And it also sparked some really interesting conversations with people who work at those places who would say, well, why don't you? And I was able to tell them. All right. So really quickly, because I want to get back to reading the book, I'm just going to share this with you. My grandmother warned me about the mark of the beast when I was a little girl. That conversation conversation in the kitchen of a farmhouse decades ago changed the course of my life. When I was a child, there were no personal computers, no cell phones, no internet or high-speed satellite communications. I had never seen a credit card. The things my mother bought in the store still had real price tags, not barcodes, and she paid in cash like everyone else. I couldn't imagine a time when every purchase could be made with a number. Fast forward, and today the words of John's prophecy no longer seem so distant or hard to envision. For the first time in history, the mark of the beast is technologically possible. After 2,000 years that scholars have puzzled over how things could be bought and sold with a number, this generation is the first to see that vision become a reality. More shocking still, it is hard to believe we live in a time when numbers can be put into a person's body. You can help your children practice saying no to the mark or the beast whenever you visit a museum, carnival, or amusement park. Refuse to wear wristbands with payment chips inside. Tell the staff you have a religious objection to a mark being placed on your child's hand or forehead, so you do not permit your child to receive a hand stamp for re-entry or face painting on the forehead. While hand stamps and face painting are harmless in their current form, teaching your children to refuse them will set a precedent in their lives and help them practice standing up for their beliefs. Many Christians, myself included, are concerned about biometric payment technologies that use the hand, such as fingerprint readers. If you share these concerns, please speak out against their use. Parents and grandparents are a huge influence on children. I'm sorry, I'm struggling to see. It's kind of far away from my actual eyes. A word aptly spoken to a child today is like a seed that may later flourish into understanding and saving faith tomorrow. It did in my case. All right, so that's the background. I'm also going to show you the back of the book. Don't know how much I'm going to get to. But here, if I hold it, I think I can get rid of some of that glare. Revelation. This was hard to write. Remember, I spent so much time writing the back of this book. All right, Revelation is a key book in the New Testament. How do you teach your children about God's vision? How can future generations prepare for that time? Do your children know how much God loves them? The book of Revelation can be mysterious and confusing, but it doesn't have to be. It is the story of God's love and his provision for his people when the Bible's promises are fulfilled and this fallen world is restored to perfect wholeness. This beautifully illustrated and scripturally accurate book gently conveys the warnings of Revelation while joyously celebrating the ultimate triumph of good over evil, guiding children to a closer relationship with Jesus, whether at home, in church, or as part of a Bible study. And then here includes a frameable 8x10 certificate with a vow to obey God and never take the mark of the beast. And there's a little picture of the certificate. I don't have one in this book, but each book comes plastic sealed with plastic wrap and or shrink wrap, whatever you call it. And then in the back, there is an 8x10 certificate that you can literally frame in a $1.25 frame from the dollar store because I made it a standard size. All right. Going back to the book and my remaining, I don't have enough time. I never have enough time. Joseph, who is giving me wonderful advice for social media, is recommending that I do an extra hour after the radio show. And I can say, hey, we're just getting started. Those of you who'd like, hop on over to my YouTube channel or my Rumble channel or wherever it'll be. And let's continue this conversation and we can make it interactive and make it live. You guys can ask questions. We can do it together. So he's saying, you know, you just seem to just get started and then it's over. And I'm like, yeah, I know. My show used to be 2 hours. It was a lot easier. All right, so when Jesus lived long ago, things were simple. People paid with cash. All right. When Jesus died on the cross, his friends were very sad. Now, remember, I wrote this in pretty much one syllable words so that small children would be able to read it or have it read to them. But they were very happy when he lived again and rose up to heaven to be with God. The disciples spent the rest of their lives sharing the good news of God's love. All right, now this picture kind of blew my mind. When she came back with this, this is a Jesus without a beard. He doesn't have a mustache, and his hair is kind of long. He's kind of shoulder length, and he looks pretty friendly. When I first saw this, because she drew several of these and sent it to me, and my first thought was, wait a minute, that doesn't look like Jesus. And my second thought was, I really like this Jesus. So this Jesus throughout the book is, I think, very approachable for children. And we know that there was nothing comely or attractive about him. We know that the thing that people appreciate about Jesus was certainly not his looks. But I figured for little kids, it's nice to show him being friendly. All right, there's Jesus rising up in the clouds with the dove, if you're listening. And now the next page has a trumpet. Now, this page shows the way the book is laid out for the rest of the book. This part on the left, there is a strip. It's about the size of a bookmark on the left of each page with a little picture at the top, and then scripture. That scripture is actual King James scripture that describes, or it is the scripture from which I took the children's portion. Okay, so let me give you an example on this page. One of the disciples was named John. When John was an old man, he saw an amazing vision. Jesus took him to heaven to see the future. John saw many ways the world would change. And then here's a picture. And when she drew this, I understood that this is John. You see kind of an old man on his knees, and then Jesus holding the stars in his hand, the seven stars. What I didn't figure out until after the book was published is people just thought John was really, really short. Kids don't think he's on his knees. They just think he's tiny. So there's tiny little John. There's big, huge Jesus. And it's kind of cute. It's a nice picture either way. All right. So now let me read you the important part. And this is why I recommend, even if you don't have kids, get this book for yourself, because you will learn so much from this. I have talked to people who have been Christians all their lives. And when I show them these scriptures, they have never seen them before. I've had many, many conversations with people who go, really? It says that? And I'm like, it sure does. All right. So this... Hang on, let me see if I can bring it a little closer so I can read it. I, John, who am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle, or as an island, that is called Patmos, for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So I got a trumpet here. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches. Now that is Revelation 1, verses 9 through 11. I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. And that is Revelation 4, 1. So that is the scripture from which I drew this short text for children, that when he was an old man, he saw an amazing vision. Jesus took him to heaven and showed him things. I need to move this a little bit so that I don't keep getting it crooked. There we go. All right, so I can get in one more before the break. All right, the next page. John saw that one day a bad leader will rule the whole world. The Bible calls him the beast. He may seem like a wonderful man, but he will be mean and cruel. He will hate God and his people. And now here's a picture of him. And I got to tell you a funny story about this picture. So when we first drew, if you're listening and not seeing, it is a picture of a stormy ocean with some waves on it. And there is a man holding a staff. And you only see him from behind. You don't see his face. We don't know his nationality or his ethnicity. It's unclear. He has indiscernible skin color. Don't really know who this guy is. But when she initially did this painting, she drew him naked, because what are you going to put him in? A business suit? You're going to put him in a Speedo, a bathing suit? You're going to put him on surfer wear? You're going to put him in a Saudi Arabian robe? What's he going to be wearing? And so we made him naked, naked like statues, like the Statue of David by Michelangelo. And when we got the initial proofs back of the book and I showed it to children, they were all scandalized, as were the parents. What is that naked guy doing in this book? So I had to take this picture, which had been scanned. By the way, once I had the pictures, I got this box and I was so nervous about it. I drove down to Boston to not a printing company like a Kinko's, but like a printing company that does commercial stuff where you go in the back door and it's really nondescript, but it's huge. And they took them each of these huge paintings, and they put them on a flatbed scanner and made a high resolution image of each one. And then those got sent to the publishing, to the book printer. Anyway, it was a long process. All right, stay tuned. I'll tell you about the naked guy in a minute.
I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to AmericasFreedomNetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com. Thank you.
All right, I'm gonna jump right in. I have so much to say. All right, let me go back to the book, and I got to tell you about this guy, this naked guy. So pretty much parents were scandalized. My pastor was scandalized. Children were horrified. And so we had already had the painting's already done. I have the original of this painting in all of its 24 inch by 14 inch, I assume, glory. And the guy is just buck naked. You can see his rear end. And Tammy Dever from TLC Books, my dear friend there, she said, I think we can fix this. I will have one of our artists here draw some shorts and stick them on this guy. So you've got the beast of the end time, literally the beast of Revelation, wearing a pair of kind of tacked on shorts. So it doesn't, I kind of forget that happened, but it indeed did happen. So it looks like it fits in. She did a good job. All right, let me go on, and I'm going to quickly try to get through some of the rest of this. All right, this one. John saw that one day a bad leader will rule the whole world. The Bible calls him the beast. He will seem like a wonderful man, but he will be mean and cruel. He will hate God and his people. And now here is the scripture. Now, there is one beast that rises from the sea and one beast that comes from the land. I didn't go into those details for children. Most adults don't know that either, that there are literally two beasts of the end time. But what I did do is I quoted scripture. It says, and I saw a beast rise up from out of the sea, and the dragon, Satan, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And that is Revelation 13, 1 through 2. And then I go on, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwelt in heaven, Revelation 13, 6. All right, moving on to the next page. All right, so we got a picture here, and this, if you can't see it, is three children, and they're raising their hands and holding up their hands prayerfully, and behind them, they're looking joyful and rejoicing, and behind them is a big honking dragon looking really menacing behind them over their heads. All right, so the script for children. The beast will act like he is a god, but he will get his power from the devil. He will fool many people and get them to obey him and worship him. All right, now the scripture. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast who is able to make war with him? Revelation 13, 3 through 4. Next, Revelation 13, 8 says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Okay. And on my YouTube channel, I put the link to where you can buy this book on Amazon. There's a little bit of background to this, which I probably should tell you before I run out of time. The books, we had 10,000 of them printed. We have sold 4,000 books. There are 6,000 books now at Pathway Press in Keene, New Hampshire. Pathway Press, I lost touch with everybody for 7 years. Pathway Press has told me now that I have until December 17th to remove my remaining inventory from their warehouse. And I am in the process of doing that. they are no longer going to fulfill this book to anyone, not to Amazon, not to Barnes & Noble. So I'm scrambling around trying to find a book distributor. This is why you're hearing about this book, because it's been very much on my mind. The 16 books that are at Amazon are the only books available between now and when I figure out a way to get a semi-truck up to Pathway Books and move these books to some other location, set up a contract, and do fulfillment with them, which hopefully will happen in time for Christmas, but no guarantees. So if you're liking the book, if you want to get yourself a copy, you are the only people who know that there are only 16 copies left. Do me a favor, if you're going to get it, in my chat room, I have a link to the Amazon link, which is an affiliate link. So I set myself up as an affiliate with Amazon. I did that last year. And what that does, you can see, like, I don't know, 2% of a sale or something. But I was removed 6 months later because they said, you haven't sold anything. So I'm like, yeah, no, I know. I'm not very good at selling stuff or getting advertisements or making money here. So this would be very helpful if you do buy the book. Please find the in the chat of YouTube. And if you're listening after the fact, there's still books available. It's in there. Here, I'll post it one more time so you can find it. If you use this particular link, then I will not be kicked off in a month because I will have made some sales on there. And it doesn't cost you anymore. It's literally, hang on, that was the wrong move. It doesn't cost you anything to do that. It is the same, whether you do use my link or don't use my link. The only difference is I won't get kicked off for failing as an affiliate, doing a rotten job. Here we go. Okay, there it is again in the YouTube chat, and here it is again in my chat. All right, there you go. Now, I got something else to tell you. This book has so many, nobody knows the stories behind this book. Okay, so on this page, page 17, you are seeing someone's right hand, and let me put my right hand right next to it. Do you see something weird? That is my right hand. That is literally Catherine Albrecht's right hand, and in fact, here's my finger. Yeah, same exact thing of the book. Here's how it happened. This is awful. So Julia contacted me and she said, I am having the darndest time drawing or making a painting of a right hand. Could you send me an example? And I'm like, sure. So I put my right hand down. I put my finger on there pointing to where the mark might go and had somebody snap a picture and I sent it to her. And she, darned if she did not literally identically copy it like a photograph. This picture is identical to the photograph. So this is Catherine Albrecht's right hand with the number 666 right in the middle of the palm. Horrifying. But if you want to know, like, I don't know what my fingerprints look like, they're right here on this painting. All right, so that's page 17. I was rather mortified, but I was like, well, I did. What do I do? Nobody will ever find out, and they wouldn't have if I hadn't told. All right, the beast will try to put a mark on every person in the world. Each mark will have a name or a number in it. The number will be 666. We don't know what the mark will look like, but God's people will recognize it when it comes. Now, here's the scripture. And he causes all, both great and both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or on their foreheads. Revelation 13:16. And the second scripture, here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, or a man, depending on your translation. And his number is 666. In other words, it's not six, the digit six, three times. It is 666. 666. All right, that's Revelation 13:18. All right, next page. I love this page. All right, so this page shows a family shopping at the supermarket, and you got a girl holding a pineapple. You've got a mom sort of looking at a piece of paper, her shopping list, holding a kid. Got a dad pushing a kid in a cart with his little rubber ducky, and you've got the cashier holding some lemons. So that's the picture, and now here's the text. People will be forced to worship the beast and take his mark in their right hand or their forehead. If they don't have the mark, they won't be able to buy or sell. And now the scripture over here, the picture. This is the only place I didn't put scripture. I actually put something of the activism I was working on, and it is the Verichip Corporation. Oh, no, this one is Revelation. That's the next page, Verichip. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name, Revelation 13:17. Okay, going to the next page. And this page is fascinating. I hope I have time to explain it. All right, so this page shows one, two, three, four people in agony in flames, right? So it's their faces in flames in agony. They're in hell. They're in hell. Okay. This page was another one, just like the shorts, which Tammy Devers said, I said to her, people are freaking out over this picture because they were in even more agony. When Julia Pearson drew this, we talked about it, and I said, I'd like to show some people in hell. And this is what she came back with. But these people were, actually, it's five people. There's one dude over here. So these people's faces were in such horrible agony that children, I don't know. I just thought to myself, I can't have this in here. So Tammy Dever once again went, had her artist come to the rescue and repainted these faces. They're still not happy, but they're not quite as awful. Here, I'll show you a couple up close. So they're, not happy faces. All right, let me tell you about the page, but first let me read it. But God's people will say no. They will never take the mark because they know it is bad. God will punish the people who worship the beast and take his mark. Now, there's a guy over here, and here's the scripture. And an angel said with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. They used to mix wine with water back then. Poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. All right, that's about the harshest thing I've read in the entire Bible. That is like, whoa. That is Revelation 14, 9 through 11. This is serious stuff. This is not just he'll forgive you. No, this is bad. Now, here's why I say this page is so fascinating. I have a minute to tell you. You can tell your salvation state or that of someone you show this to by their response to this image, and it is pretty much one for one, 100% of the time. People who are not saved, people who do not know Jesus Christ, people who do not love Jesus Christ, people who are going to this destination will look at this picture and be horrified. That doesn't belong in a children's book. That's terrible. In fact, if you read my reviews on Amazon, they're all 5 stars except for the people who say, this picture is going to give them nightmares. The people who are saved and know the Lord look at this and feel sorrow for those who are perishing, but they're not scared. They're not horrified. They're not angry. They're not upset. They don't want to throw the book down and punch me. It's really interesting the way people respond to this particular picture. If you are looking at this picture, and if you are feeling anger and horror that children should not see this, by the way, kids handle this just fine, then you may want to re-examine the state of your own salvation and work it out with fear and trembling, because you should not be responding that way. You should look at it and go, I'm not going there, but gosh, I need to save other people so they don't. All right, I'm Catherine Albrecht, and that was my book. Hang on. And here's me. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll get to the rest later. Buy the book now, though. There's only 16.